I'm Rob Lori, and you're listening to Radioactivity right here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Next, we'll hear more about the Chinese occupation of Tibet from Lobsang Tsering and Kunchak Tsering, who are now students at Florida International University. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. You're welcome.
How long have the Chinese occupied Tibet?
China started occupation of Tibet in 1949 with the rise of communists in China, and they completed their occupation in 1959. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did this come with much death or a political repression?
It's they started like as a friend, you know, like business, and then trying to be friendly, trying to be show as brothers, and then as the time passed by, they sent their military and like that.
How many folks have died? Is there an estimate?
Yeah, there are 1.2 million Tibetans have died directly as a direct result of Chinese occupation. Mm-hmm. And died in many different ways, like starvation. Tibet has never had any famine in the history. After the Chinese occupation, Tibet was struck by famine and torture and direct during the battle, of course. So it is died in many different ways. And it is more generally estimated around 1.2 million Tibetans, like one fifth of the population.
What about the Splendid China exhibit? How do they depict Tibet?
Mm-hmm. The dissatisfaction that we have against Splendid China is that they are trying to tell the world that about their Chinese culture, okay. But the problem with that is that they are trying to integrate a lot of other cultures which are not there, like Mongolian culture, East Turkestan, and of course the Tibet. If they want to show their own culture, no problem. Nobody has any problem. Nobody has any objection. They can. But they cannot borrow some other people's culture and show them to the world as their own. That is the greatest problem with that Splendid China.
And also the problem is they are showing that Tibet is their country. Mm. Which is not absolutely not true.
So they're glossing over the fact that they occupy Tibet and also occupying Inner Mongolia. What about the world community? Has the world community spoken out about this? The United Nations or any other governments spoken out to say, China, you have no right to occupy these lands?
Yeah, United Nations has passed three resolutions on Tibet. In 1959, 61, and I guess 66, I don't remember. Three resolutions. And all these resolutions demanded the freedom, independence for Tibet. And that was a time when China was not a member of the United Nations. It was represented by Taiwan. So in 1970s, maybe around 76 or something like that, when during the time of Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon, U.S. developed diplomatic relations with mainland China. And the very day time, the condition from the side of China is that United States must stop all kind of supports to Tibet, of course.
And did the United States?
United States listened to them, and that day onward, United States blocked many of the important resolutions, both in United Nations and also in Human Rights Commissions.
What kind of internal opposition is there? Are there people who are militarily trying to throw the Chinese out, or is this purely nonviolent? How does the opposition manifest itself?
Actually, it's through nonviolently. His Holiness in India has a government in exile. The Tibetans who escaped during 1959 are all trying. And His Holiness is trying his best to get the freedom back to nonviolence. But inside Tibet, there are like very sort of like violent, I mean not violent, but people showing disagreement of the Chinese rule there. So it's like the monks and the nuns are protesting always, and they are arrested all the time, torture, and it's still going on. And these days it's so bad. And Chinese these days have become very strict, and they don't allow even Tibetans' families or the monastery to have even a photograph of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. They have removed Dalai Lama's and Panchen Lama's photo from the Potala Palace and also the Noble Lingpa, and also all the families of Tibetans cannot keep their His Holiness photograph in their home.
One interesting point regarding Tibetan that people may like to know is that before the occupation, there are 6,000 Buddhist monasteries in Tibet. And during the occupation, during the occupation and following cultural revolution, they grounded whole 6,000 monasteries down into the ground. And now in place of that, there are 1989 jails and concentration camps in Tibet.
Why is the Dalai Lama such a powerful figure of opposition? Why do the Chinese object to the depictions of the Dalai Lama?
Chinese, from the side of China, Chinese regard the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan in exile as a separatist movement. They are there to separate the motherland, like Tibet from China. So Dalai Lama is a powerful figure in this, is most loved leader by its people because the path he follows is non-violence. It's always non-violence. He always says that we don't have anything to do with Chinese people. They are good. They are nice. We like them. They like us. It is the government and their policy. And unlike in America, in China, government is not a legitimate representation of the people. The government is one-party rule and nobody has anything to say.
Were you both born in Tibet?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah. Well, you were born in India.
You were born in India. Yeah. Your parents had fled Tibet?
Yeah,
yes,
our parents fled
Tibet. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are your parents still alive?
Yeah.
Yes,
Do they desire to go back?
Yeah, sure. We are all waiting. We don't even have Indian citizenship. We are having like alien refugees who have to take every year permission to stay in India.
Yeah.
So India has not completely embraced you?
No,
it's not granted you. Is it because India doesn't?
No, India is willing to grant us citizenship, but we are not applying for that. Yeah, that's the issue here.
We are keeping our culture and tradition and whatever, like to preserve our culture, and we want to go back, so we are taking the status of refugee voluntarily. Yeah. So we want to go back. We don't want to stay in India.
So how do you feel about folks that go to Splendid China? What should, if somebody was thinking, well, I want to take my kids or my family to visit the Splendid China exhibit, what would you tell American tourists who are planning to go?
Mm-hmm. So when they look at those pieces, exhibition pieces like Potala Palace, Grassland, and Genghis Khan, they should try to understand the story behind. How many lives China took in order to take those things into possession. When they explain Potala Palace to the tourists, they never explain how many people are killed. They have bombed that Potala Palace in 1959. They have killed 1.2 million Tibetans in order to take possession of that. They never explain that. So people should try to understand the story behind. The Potala Palace belongs to Tibet, and today it is with China. How it becomes a Chinese Potala Palace when 50 years before it was Tibetan's Potala Palace. Yeah, and it involves a background history is a great tragedy. So people should understand the history. And if they understand the history behind those pieces, then they will, they may think twice before visiting that particular place because every dollar they spend is going directly to the Chinese government.
I wonder about other actions that folks might take. Do you folks call for boycotts of Chinese goods, Chinese products?
Yes, we do. Like in America, most of the goods are made in China, and also America is very not willing to to oppose China because of trade relationship. So it depends on the public now. If they stop buying goods, they cannot make goods. Mm-hmm. It make an impact on Chinese.
The two of you live now in the United States. I wonder, have any people in the United States Congress taken up this issue of trying to get freedom for Mongolia, Inner Mongolia, and for Tibet?
Actually, maybe 4 or 5 years back, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution claiming that Tibet is an occupied country. So in legislative assembly, Tibet is an occupied country, but in executive, Tibet is still, according to the U.S. State Department, Tibet is still a part of China.
Because our recent presidents, such as George Bush and Bill Clinton, have fostered close relations with China.
Yeah, they have treated their responsibility, the moral responsibility or principles with trade.
Uh-huh.
Now, in the recent development, the most favored nation status to China. Actually, now earlier it was United States who is granting most favored nation to China, and it is United States who is putting conditions. Now in the recent development, if you observe, it's the United States who is granting most favored nation to China, but it is China who is giving the terms of the most favored nation. Mm-hmm. So it's other way around. It's moving in opposite direction.
There are no human rights conditions, in the most favored nation.
Yeah, they're dealing with human rights conditions.
What else can Americans do to try to see that the people of Inner Mongolia and Tibet are free?
Mm-hmm. The one thing that the American people can do is that they can pressure their own government to support or to recognize the freedom of those minorities which has been occupied by China during the course of history. This is the one big thing. And it has been very successful in Europe and Australia, because of pressure from the people, government normally, they don't recognize Tibet as a part of China, but before they say anything like that, they used to take a second thought. They are very careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Also, the American people and the government should try to, support Tibetans and also His Holiness, whatever His Holiness does. The American government should try to support rather than ignore, because these days Chinese, whenever His Holiness visits America or Australia or anywhere in Germany or anywhere, Chinese are always threatening that the president should not meet His Holiness. So they always try to they don't meet officially, but Chinese are so successful. They give threats and they try to give their terms, and they're successful in that.
They're able to use their economic muscle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where is the Dalai Lama living now?
Right now he's in Dharamsala, but he's always traveling in Europe, Asia, Africa, everywhere, trying to spread his, as a religious person, and also he's always traveling and trying to, present the Tibetan's cause to people, and he's trying very hard to get Tibet back, if not completely free as an autonomous region with Tibet's control over the internal affairs.
I want to thank you both for coming down. It's good to have you here. Thank you very much
for coming down.
Thank you.
And we do have a phone number locally for the local group that is working on these issues. So if folks want to call us, they can call us at 238-8001. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you. Good to have
you here. Lobsang Sering and Kunchak Sering are now living in the U.S. and attend Florida International University. They'll take part in this weekend's demonstration against the Splendid China theme park near Kissimmee, Florida. They say that the theme park hides the truth about the Chinese occupation of Tibet and Inner Mongolia. For more information about the Chinese role in these two countries, you can call Jack Churchward in Clearwater, who has formed a group called Citizens Against Chinese Propaganda. His number is 441-3982. You can also find out about this Sunday morning's demonstration at that same number, 441-3982. I'm Robert Lori. Thanks for listening to Radioactivity. Stay tuned for the Pacifica News.